Now that you are all fluent in Arabic, I can greet you in Arabic. Ahlan, Urbana. Kif halkum? We love you, all the churches in the Middle East and in the Muslim world. We greet you. We wish we could be all together. Hi, St. Louis, awesome city. Are there some French-speaking people in the audience? Bonjour, comment ça va? Did you know that 250 years ago, this city spoke French? Yeah, it has even the name of a French king, Saint Louis. Maybe you have seen his picture when you were walking in the hallways. Who has seen a picture of Saint Louis? Yeah, a few. Poor king. He died of dysentery in 1270 as he was fighting in a crusade. What a coincidence. Centuries after St. Louis died in a crusade, here we are, still figuring out our relationships with Muslims. Urbana, I'm so excited to be here. You have no idea. I've been waiting for this moment for months because I'm going to be able to share about my favorite topic, which is what? Engaging with Muslims. Are you as excited as I am? Woo! How do you feel about Muslims? When you think of them, what are the emoticons, the emoji, the smiley that you use? Actually, do you know that the emoticons, the emoji we use when we chat about Islam are going to determine the future of the world? Yeah, it is estimated that in 2050, roughly 30% of the population of the world will be Christian and 30% will be Muslims. So we actually together are going to be 60% of the world population, two-thirds of the world. What happens if we don't get along? I strongly believe that the 21st century is the century in which Muslims and Christians must figure out how to live together on this planet. If not, we will destroy each other. Ironically, in a time when we are so interconnected, so interdependent, where the information flows so easily, what is happening? We have never built as many walls. I think at this rate, we are soon going to be running out of building material. So, Urbana, what stories are you going to tell about Muslims? Stories of despair or stories of hope? I have made up my mind. Like the prophet Zechariah in the Bible, I am a prisoner of hope. I am a hostage of hope. Why? Because I've seen God doing amazing things in the Muslim world since 50 years ago. I can't believe I'm so old. Yes, 50 years ago, I broke my, as a child, I was 10 years old. Oh, now you know how old I am. I broke my piggy bank and I gave it the little money I had saved. I said to my mother, can you give that money to someone who had just been sharing about the church in Chad, a country in Africa with more Muslims than Christians? I had my first encounter with Muslims when I was 14 years old. So I was walking in the streets of my hometown, and then suddenly a girl came and she has this big smile, you know, and I was wearing a t-shirt with bold letters. Jesus loves you. And so she comes, and she's a Muslim, and she says, what is this about Jesus loves you, loves me? It was an ordinary encounter on an ordinary day in an ordinary location. But what came before was not so ordinary. Actually, France had been through a very long war with Algeria. Algeria is a North African country who was fighting for its independence from the French. And so people had been fighting, and what I had heard, stories around dinner table, I had heard lots of war stories. And so I was just so afraid to talk about Muslims. So actually I was very glad this young girl came to me, because I was not ready to cross the street. You see what war does? It freezes us. Paralyzed by the trauma of history, I just didn't dare to cross the street to talk to this Muslim girl. But guess what? She did. She walked toward me and inquired about my faith. And I welcomed her. Welcome! What an amazing word. What a delightful word. Let this word symbolize mission. But it's hard to welcome in times of war, in times of fear, when we hear bad news, when we hear news about Muslims beheading people, when we hear the recent news of the terrorist attack in San Bernardino. Let me tell you, if some Muslims are scary, Muslims are not generally scary. An example, several examples. A few days ago, Muslims in France formed a human chain around a church to help Christians celebrate Christmas in safety. When I was sick with cancer several years ago, Muslim friends came from halfway across the globe to visit me. When the terrorist attack happened in Paris about the Charlie cartoons, a lot of Muslims shouted all over France, "Not in my name, not in my name." If in times of dangers, fear is normal, fear is even important to protect us. Sometimes it blurs our vision. And if I am afraid of scary Muslim as much as I am afraid of scary Christians, I don't have to be afraid of all the Muslims. Unfortunately, today we are caught in a spiral of fear, Muslims and Christians. I remember talking to Muslim leaders after 9/11, and they said to me, when I was sharing about how Christians are afraid of Muslims, they said, "Evelyn, do you know that we are also afraid as Muslims? We are so afraid that other Muslims would kill us. We are afraid that bombs are falling on our cities. We are afraid of hate crimes against Muslims. We are afraid of what Christians think about us." Fear leads us to turn away from each other, but we serve a God who turns his face toward us. Remember how God told Moses and his brother an amazing blessing. We repeat it all the time in the church. May God bless you and keep you. Make God turn his shiny face toward you. So the radiating, the shining, the joyful, the friendly face of God turned toward a world is the picture of mission. If God turned the face toward the world to bless it, to show divine hospitality in Jesus, how can I, as a child of God, not turn my face toward Muslims, even in the most chaotic times? A colleague of mine at Fuller Theological Seminary made a research, and he interviewed several hundreds of Muslims. And what he found is asking the first reason why Muslims were attracted to Jesus. They said, "It's because we have met a Christian who loved us." Will you resist phobia? Will I resist phobia? Will I resist hate? Will I turn my face toward Muslims and bless them? Will you, on your campus, on the neighborhoods, or overseas, will you welcome them in the name of Jesus? But if we welcome Muslims, we find out that Muslim-Christian relations are complex. So welcome is not enough. What we need is wisdom. That's what King Solomon had. You remember, people were coming from far away because he was so wise, and people traveled, you know. I mean, and it was not as easy at that time, you know. There was no internet, there was no private jets. My dream is that we all become as wise regarding Muslim and Islam as King Solomon. I believe that we can have that in our witness. It's hard. Muslim conversations with Christians have been going on for 15 centuries, are very complex, there have been controversies, and yet it worries me that despite the fact that Islam is 15 centuries old, Christians keep asking the same question. What is Islam? Is Islam violent after 15 centuries? Why should we perpetuate the ignorance about Islam and Muslims in our circles? So wisdom teaches us to think and to feel, and the best way to learn is to talk to a Muslim, to ask him questions. I learned that from attachment theorists. I think that if you want to relate to someone, the best phrase I will give you, and it's not mine, but it's attachment theorists that use it, is that the Muslim feels that you feel what he feels. So let us repeat that together. Do you know how we can really bond, how we can attach, how we can have really true relationships? Is when a Muslim can say, I feel, can you repeat after me? I feel that you feel what I feel. Can you turn to somebody? I feel that you feel what I feel. So enough with caricatures and enough with shortcuts, oversimplification of Muslim and Islam that push Muslims so far away from us that they can't even hear the message anymore. But we have such a beautiful story to share. I've seen hundreds of Muslims come to Jesus when they had the possibility to come close in trust and hear the story. But we also need Christians today who can resolve conflicts, who can be involved in peacemaking, in social work, in education, because verbal witness to Muslims is as important as good works and help them build societies together. A friend of mine in France, for example, is working in a very tough neighborhood. And I wish you could come with me. I wish I could take you with you because I visit him each time I go to Paris. He's working in places where the difficulties of life has created a lot of radicalization in the young people. And he's working in these places. And he actually has seen several of these radicalized Muslims, young people turn to Jesus. We need wise Christians who are also able to talk about religious freedom in places where Christians cannot worship and witness freely. But we also need to care for Muslims in places where Muslims are mistreated for their faith. That is also religious freedom. Today, in a few places in the Muslim majority world, Christians coming from a Muslim background have been able to fight for freedom. To have a church. It's a very new phenomena, and we rejoice with them. But in so many other places, it is still not possible. For all of this, we need wisdom. Wisdom takes time to grow. Wisdom allows mistakes. Be open to learn. Be open to say, I don't know. It also combines learning with prayer, with submission to God and passion to serve others. Several years ago, after my encounter with this Muslim girl, I joined InterVarsity. Yay, GBU, la France! I remember going every week to campus with a suitcase packed with Bibles in Arabic and other languages. Do you go to campus like that? Muslims enjoy sharing and talking about God, so it was not difficult to have a conversation about Jesus. This gave me the opportunity to share my journey with Jesus. And so my wisdom grew. I listened before talking, witnessing patiently with Muslims who were confused about the Quran and the Bible. You know, it is not easy for a Muslim to understand the Trinity or the incarnation of Christ. I also learned to accept fair criticism regarding injustices against Muslims done in the name of Christianity. But likewise, I also challenged Muslims in the era of terrorism or the lack of freedom of churches. My first encounters with Muslims on campus turned into a lifetime of rich conversation and relationship with Muslims. So I invite you to mission through welcome and wisdom, but you need one more word. Wonder. Christians must rediscover, if they have forgotten, that wonder is part of mission. Life is filled with wonder. You know, we wonder when humans land a robot on planet Mars, or we wonder at Olympic game performances. You may even wonder, right now there's somebody attractive that you would really like to talk to during that conference, and they have not noticed you yet. Last week, Christians worldwide wondered. I remember my first time when I saw the Christmas tree lit in my house and my parents opened the door and I opened present. Do you still wonder at what happened at Christmas when angels announced joy to the world? Yes, Christmas is very, 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 very good news, the best news that the world has ever received. Emmanuel, God with us. Unfortunately, mission in the context of Islam has often been defined as so difficult, so impossible, the last frontier, that we have often forgotten that there is wonder in mission. Consequently, actually, in the 1980s, there were only 2% of the people who went to mission in the Muslim world. And 30 years later, we are still not enough Christians engaging with Muslims. So where is the wonder factor in mission among Muslims? Do you believe that Christmas is also joy to the Muslim world? There was a Muslim woman who used to come to our Bible studies in Paris. We waited patiently as she asked thousands of questions, argued, doubted. We knew she was afraid of the reaction of her family, and that's why she didn't want to make a decision. But then the day came. She simply said, and we were all sitting together, "Yes, I now understand why God sent Jesus to the world to save me." And all the people in the room stood up and started to ululate of joy. That is the true joy, the joy of heaven resonating when someone comes to Jesus. Not because we have won a competition with Muslims for converts, no, no, but because we witnessed God's grace touching someone's life. This joy is now spreading across the globe. Now there are hundreds of thousands of Muslims who have received joy in their hearts. They form thriving communities who worship God in Christ and faithfully serve their country and their people. But still, we need a million more Christians who share their faith so that every Muslim will hear the gospel one time in their life. But you may say, why do you talk so much about joy? Did you see what happens today? Is lament not more appropriate? I agree. It is very appropriate. You have no idea how many tears I have shed over the suffering in many, many regions in the Muslim world, and over the refugee situation in the Middle East, and over the terrorist attack in San Bernardino, in Paris, in Beirut, in so many other countries. I say, like the prophet Jeremiah, I have cried until the tears no longer come. My heart is broken. My spirit is poured out in agony. Yes, the pain is immense. But we are not people of despair. We are hostage of hope. In the midst of shedding tears, we remember that Jesus is joy of the world. Encounters with Muslims can happen anywhere on campus, in the streets, through social media, through caring for the needy, caring for the earth, through arts, through peacemaking. This is joyful witness. We share life first with Muslims, then we share the life of the world, Jesus. From the time when I broke my piggy bank until today, there are 50 years of sharing my life with Muslims and witnessing about Christ. There's only one day I said no. I was afraid. I turned my back. I said, I don't want anymore. I changed country, changed community. But God's joy brought me back. This is how it happened. I was driving my car in a street in North America, and suddenly I saw a woman coming, and she was wearing a white veil. But she's also, and then when she came closer, I saw she was wearing a cross. I was confused. I jumped out of my car and said, a cross, a veil, how does this go together? And she grabbed my hands and started dancing in the street, literally, I tell you, dancing in the streets with me, and say, you have no idea, I have met Jesus. I have so much joy in my heart. It is the joy that brought... It's the joy that brought me back into witness, because I wanted to see more joy in the eyes of people. The joy of Jesus. As you've noticed, the story of hope that I share includes a triple letter, W. Welcome, wisdom, wonder. Can you repeat? Welcome, wisdom, wonder. We use this all the time, WW, World Wide Web. That's how we connect. What about mission? Can we connect through welcome, wisdom, and wonder? To summarize this wisdom and wonder, I will end with a story. A story of my best friend. She later she became mentor in my ministry. She was raised in a Muslim family and migrated to France from North Africa. In her neighborhood, there was a Christian nurse. This nurse welcomed Muslims. Farida, it's her name. Actually, her story is going to be tomorrow in the Urbana Journal. Farida heard the gospel through this ordinary woman who did not know much about Islam, but wanted to bless Muslims. She met her in an ordinary location, her home, because the nurse was coming to her home to take care of her sick father. Farida was touched by the word of this nurse. But her decision created great distress in her community, distress because she was leaving, in a way, her community, joining the church, but then she was also creating distress in her mother, because her mother, a devout Muslim and good Muslim, was afraid that she was going to go to hell now that she would become a follower of Jesus. And finally, there was distress in the church because people really didn't know what to do about her. They had never seen a Muslim come to Jesus. And so what happened, Farida had nowhere to go. She ended up in the streets, and the police took her for 3 days in a jail because they didn't know, since she was a minor, what to do with her. But the joy of God, Farida was in this prison cell alone and said, why, Jesus? Why, God? Why am I here? What have I done? And then she heard the gentle voice of Jesus said, what did I do that was wrong? But I died for you to live. So, Urbana. Farida now has reconnected with her family, her community. She's now a great leader, a great scholar who impacts the life of many. She has become a hostage of hope. With her, I invite you. I invite you today to turn your face joyfully toward Muslims in the name of Jesus. May welcome, wisdom, wonder illuminate your daily lives and mission in the name of Jesus. My journey has started 50 years ago. How will your journey look like in 50 years from now? My dream is that all of you here sitting today will actually be on this stage at Urbana 2065. And you will share your story about how you became, each of you, friend with one Muslim. And I don't know where the journey is going to lead once you make that connection. By God's grace, I actually will not be here anymore. I'll probably be watching you from somewhere with Jesus. And my heart will be filled with so much joy. By God's grace, we can be part of the great revolution of joy that will reveal Jesus to Muslims. May Urbana 2015 be the place where this journey starts for you. Amen.